is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Initiate procedure.
Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
A lot of stuff as we kick things off on a Monday. All new week here on the MJ Morning Show. Hey, folks, MJ here along with Roxanne and Fester and Froggy. Glad to see you guys are kind of situated and all ensconced. Roxanne's been here. I got Fester and Froggy just, you know, scrambling in as the music's getting ready to wrap up over here.
I've been here for 45 minutes.
You have?
I just sit in my car listening to wrestling podcasts.
You haven't. You don't even have your headphones on.
Oh, yeah. This might help.
Something felt different.
Exactly. Hey, does everyone feel rested? Because I have a pretty interesting thing here that just 8% of Americans feel fully rested after a night's sleep.
Yeah, I'm in the 92%.
Yeah, seriously.
Come on, that's a little low, just 8%, really?
I never feel rested.
Come on.
I feel pretty great.
Do you really? Yeah. Because you were listening to wrestling podcasts in your car.
That's right. Hey, best of Mid-Atlantic wrestling. Should check it out.
I used to watch that when I was a kid because I grew up in Virginia
there
Beach.
You go. Good stuff.
Used to watch that. And then, of course, COVID-19 here in Florida. You got the vaccine age is now 40. Today, 40. And then next Monday, day after Easter, it's down to 18 plus.
Oh, we're getting closer and closer to my age range.
Yeah, closer and closer. It'll be 15 before you know it. Yeah, yeah. Fester all pissed off with the Powerball situation. We'll get into that later on.
Don't even get me started.
And then you got buyer's remorse, right?
I got a thing happened, and I instantly felt bad about it.
Fester's buyer's remorse. We'll get into that. Roxanne's got a creepy restaurant story.
I didn't know what to do.
You know what? There was something I saw over the weekend as well that kind of goes tandem with your creepy little story. I can't imagine something like this happening. Well, loaded show, folks. We're just getting rolling here on a Monday. Don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
I know this is going to come up numerous times during the course of the show today. Hey, folks, welcome. It is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105 as we really just get rolling here on a Monday. Fester is all aggravated because of the Powerball winner locally in Lutz in Hillsborough County, Tampa area. You know, Fester's all aggravated because the Powerball ticket, what was it, like 238 million, right?
Yeah.
$238 million Powerball ticket. Fester's all aggravated. Roxanne, do you know why?
I don't know why, but could he have been the purchaser of that ticket?
No, he could not have been because his ass would not have been here today.
Hold on a second. Did you just... I just said Fester's...
Not like he bought it and was the winner, but like was he behind her in line or something like that?
How does that add up to, was he the purchaser of that ticket?
Yeah. Like, could he have been the one who bought the ticket?
No, you just said, was he the purchaser of that ticket? No.
I don't know what I said.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't even know how to feel about this.
All right. The deal is, someone won $238 million. This is a local ticket, Powerball, sold in Lutz. Fester's aggravated because that is the Publix where he buys his lottery tickets.
That is the Publix where I buy my lottery tickets.
Oh, my God. Sounds like, hold on, let me, a little loud. Calm down.
I've had every range of emotion over this over the last 24 hours.
I love our microphones. It sounded like you were in the parking lot yelling.
Goodness.
I've been excited for the person. I've hated this person.
Yeah.
I felt guilty about hating this person that I didn't care at all.
Here's the deal, Roxanne.
I can never go to this store again.
Let me explain this. Fester is aggravated because you don't hate the person that won the $238 million.
I don't hate the human. I hate their spirit.
Well, here's the deal. Fester now knows that the odds of there being another Powerball winner at that exact location, once there has actually been a grand prize, massive $238 million winner, the odds of there being another winner, Fester's like, I can never buy. He sent me an email last night. Fester says, I can never buy another Powerball ticket at the Publix in Lutz where this person won the $238 million. Because what are the odds of there being another grand prize, huge $100 million-plus jackpot being sold at that exact same store?
Now, Powerball sales are going to be down there regardless.
I would think maybe. Or conversely, there are some people that say, "Oh my God, there's luck in the air." I know people that will go with that mentality.
Lucky slot machine.
Fester, you will. That's true. That's a perfect example. Lucky slot machine, you got a machine that pays off, people will flock to a machine because sometimes some machines seem to have a lucky streak, or if you have a machine that just, but then I know people like if it just paid off, it's not going to pay off, for a while. Now, Fester, you're still going to food shop at this Publix. You've got no issue with that. It's just going to the customer service counter to buy Powerball tickets, right?
I mean, I have to go to the Winn-Dixie now. Or have to go to like the Sunshine Food Mart.
You know, I typically think that when it comes to like Mega Millions or Powerball or Florida Lot or whatever, for whatever reason, when I do play, I tend to be more attracted to those one-off super fine food mart, you know?
Super Shack Food Mart.
Well, like the El Grande One Stop.
Exactly. I tend to be lured to those, you know, kind of seedy, creepy, dirty convenience stores with off-brand gas. You know, that's typically what I think of. You've always seen those stories with the huge Powerball or Mega Millions jackpots. A lot of times they just seem to be sold at those smaller places, but not always. I mean, there are plenty. Remember that lady East Coast? There was some like grandma, like in her 80s. Didn't she win like $600 or $700 million in Powerball? Like, I don't know, 6, 7, 9 years, whatever it was.
The winners are a blur to me.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about it being almost $1 billion. That was at a big Kroger in Detroit. You know, this is at a big Publix in the Tampa Bay area. So, you know, these. Listen, the person who won it.
The deal is this is Fester's Publix.
Yeah.
This is the Publix that Fester and his wife shop at all the time, where the woman won the $238 million in the drawing. And this was what, Saturday night's drawing?
Yeah. To the human who won it.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled for you. Listen, congratulations. Great.
Did you rehearse that?
No. But...
Are you sure it's a human?
You've spoiled it for me.
I can never buy lotto tickets there again.
And that's the point. Oh, boy. Just getting rolling. It is a Monday on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. I don't know what it is with grandmas these days. Hey, also, I've got a fast food question. I've got a very important fast food question next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. You're listening to Q105. Hey, don't forget, we got the SeaWorld tickets coming up later this morning, right? So 9:20. That's a fixed time. So 9:20 this morning, SeaWorld tickets are on the way. And, of course, they have the Seven Seas Seafood Festival going on right now. So that's a pretty big deal for them. And we get a pair of tickets, and you'll get a parking pass as well, which is also a nice little addition. 9:20 this morning. We'll give that away. Stand by. Also, the trip a day rolls on. So 8 o'clock this morning, we'll give you the Trip a Day song and then what time it replays. Got a fast food question here, guys. And yeah, I love posing these little dilemmas. They're not Delilah dilemmas. They're just regular, they're MJ dilemmas.
Almost like a little window to our personality, the way we answer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd like to, well, I know Fester probably is going to answer it completely in the wrong way that a human should with any type of empathy whatsoever. Let's say, let me give you the scenario. Let's say somebody goes to a fast food restaurant. They bring back the sandwiches and, you know, well-known, this is a McDonald's, so well-known, and I think most people know basically what the menu is at McDonald's. The sandwiches are brought back to the house, and you get the wrong sandwich. The question is, how do you react? You know, there might be a little bit of disappointment, right? I mean, you're expecting maybe, let me give you the facts here. The man was expecting a Big Mac. The mother of their child, so the mother and the father, they have a child together, but it appears that they're not quite living together, but he was there, and maybe it was some kind of visitation thing.
Okay.
So the mom goes out to get McDonald's, brings it back. He wanted a Big Mac, instead was given a quarter pounder.
Okay, those are the worst two to mess up. Those are the worst two to mess up.
Hold on a minute. Why is that?
I was hoping those were the two you wouldn't say.
Why? Are you serious?
Because if you want a Big Mac,
right?
If you want a, you have that unique taste in your mouth with the Thousand Island dressing,
the special sauce.
Yeah, right.
Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed. But
the special sauce is just Thousand Island dressing in my. Listen, if you want that, a quarter pounder.
Well, I learned that in Fast Times at Ridgemont High at All American Burger. The secret sauce is just. Ketchup and mayonnaise.
It's just ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together.
A little bit of relish.
That's it.
So listen, you don't want a quarter pounder with cheese. That's the last thing you want.
But you know what? My favorite thing on the menu is a quarter pounder with cheese. And if you've always been a Big Mac person, if you've never tried one, maybe you're going to open your expanded horizons.
Like, is this like Oprah's favorite things?
All right. First of all, Roxanne.
It's Roxanne's favorite things.
We're talking about the menu at McDonald's. So there's been plenty of opportunity to try everything on the menu. The same way you're a quarter pounder person and I'm a Big Mac person, probably the biggest difference between us, you don't want the other one. If you order your quarter pounder with cheese and get a Big Mac, you're just as ticked.
Here's the situation. Guy was so pissed off, argued with the woman, the mother of their child, threw her to the ground, then stole money from her purse. I don't know if he was going to head up and go
back to McDonald's.
Go get a Big Mac.
Get it right.
But this is a crazy story. And then a bunch of 911 calls rolled in because other people witnessed this. According to the criminal complaint, 39-year-old Muhammad Abubaker.
Abubaker?
No, Abubaker. It's
Abubaker.
No, A-B-O-U Baker, like you're baking a cake. Abubaker. Yeah, 39-year-old guy was visiting for the last few days with the baby mama, their parents of a 3-year-old. The woman told the cops that Abubaker was upset because she got him a quarter pounder instead of the Big Mac. The argument ensued. He threw her to the ground, then threw her into a dresser. The woman said that her son was in the room and was screaming while it occurred. Yeah, 3-year-old's keen enough to understand what the hell's going on there. The dad is going nuts. Oh, absolutely. And then he went into the kitchen, started snatching money out of her purse. Then she confronted him and sprayed him with a can of mace.
Okay, this escalated very, very, very quickly.
But wait a minute. It was not mace. The police report points out that it was not mace. Do you know what it was?
What? Windex?
No.
Hairspray?
Hold on. This is almost more fun.
Could have been anything.
So, Froggy says Windex. No, it wasn't Windex.
Fast acting to Nactin.
No.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, no. Sure. I'm trying to think of aerosol cans I have around the house. Like Pam or that.
Wasp killer.
Yes!
Really?
Oh, my God. It was Hornet spray.
Oh!
Yes!
Those have a serious stream, too.
Deserved it. He sounds like a mad little Hornet.
God, right his eyeballs.
Oh, my
God. You can literally hit somebody in the eyeball with those things. Stream.
Rain! I mean, she sprays him in the face with hornet
spray. That's worse.
Hornet spray. Oh, my. He then flees the home. He was then apprehended, charged with, you know, misdemeanor domestic assault counts. This guy, by the way, has a nice little rap sheet. Convictions for aggravated robbery, receiving stolen property, domestic assault.
Did he get the Big Mac? Did he get the Big Mac?
He did not. Oh. He ended up getting some kind of swill at the county lockup where he was taken. Man, just go with the flow. Just, you know, if you want to be, oh, man, I wanted a Big Mac. You know, just be disappointed for a couple of seconds, then move on.
It would have been really nice if she just would have looked in the bag at the drive-thru and just made sure the order was correct.
No, the order was correct. She ordered him a quarter pounder. He wanted the Big Mac. She brought him a quarter pounder. It wasn't like they made the mistake at the drive-thru.
Okay, all right.
Although drive-thru mistakes happen, you always check your order before you leave.
Okay, yeah. Great point. I had the same thing happen this weekend, similar. I took my girls to get to-go food. We went to go have a picnic. They didn't put forks in there, so I had to teach them how to eat with a straw folded in half.
like straw tweezers?
Like chopsticks.
Straw chopsticks?
like the kitty chopsticks where they put rubber bands on the end?
Yeah, I said.
They can use them?
Uh-huh. We learned two important lessons. Check your bag and make the best of a bad situation.
What type
of
food?
Mashed potatoes.
Soup.
Close.
Mashed potatoes.
You got some drive-thru mashed potatoes?
We went to two different stops.
Okay. All right.
Trying to keep the story short.
Wow. That is something.
I like to order a drive-thru mashed potatoes.
And you had a picnic in the park somewhere?
At a little gazebo by your house.
Where was Doug during all this?
He was working.
He's disappearing a lot. I haven't heard from him in a while.
He was on the course with Jordan.
Are things okay with you and Doug?
He doesn't seem to be around much.
Yeah, he really doesn't. He seems to be like an absent dude all of a sudden.
He's here.
Absent Doug.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm just checking.
Quality mom-daughter time.
Yeah, just let it slide. If you were looking for the Big Mac instead of the quarter pound, just let it slide. All right? All right, are you guys ready for the popcorn machine problem?
Oh, no.
We've got a popcorn machine problem. What are you saying? Oh, no.
No, when you say popcorn machine problem, you open yourselves up to a lot of possibilities.
Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll let you guess on the popcorn issue.
We come up with good guesses.
I love this. Plus the ability to play all kinds of sound effects. I love it. Okay. The popcorn machine problem is next. On the MJ Morning Show, Q105, back in a second.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
That's quite the pop we got going on there, isn't it?
Some nice ASMR to start your day.
I was going to say, does this kind of trip your trigger over there with your... with your whole ASMR
this
thing?
This would be a good ASMR sound.
Yeah, that's a theater popcorn machine. But, you know, we have one of those. We've got a small version. Michelle bought... You want to hear a funny story? So, Fields BMW, where we've been, you know, customers for years. Fields, in their cafe, they had a popcorn cart for years.
Right.
And my wife would go in there, and we were in Fields, and she'd go grab a bag of freshly popped popcorn from the popcorn cart. And, you know, it has that metal kettle where, you know, they put the bag of oil in there. It's like, there's like a pack you can buy where it has the popcorn. It's like a sealed bag with the popcorn. Then it has like the flavoring, the oil in like three separate little things. And you kind of cut the bag and you dump it all in.
Yeah. And that one makes the absolute best popcorn because they're all seasoned proper.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So Michelle loved it so much that she bought one of those she didn't buy the whole cart deal. She bought the machine that kind of sits up on a tabletop. And I'll tell you right now, we've gotten some really damn good use out of that thing. We have. So the popcorn story, and I love this. Apparently in North Dakota, there was some political strain at their state house. And somebody had the idea to bring legislators together during a strain time, COVID-19, you know, political issues, that they would put a popcorn machine inside the North Dakota Capitol building. Well, guess what? The machine is gone. Any idea why the machine's gone there, Fester?
Wait, somebody steal it?
No. Let me give
it
you.
It blew up?
Let me give you a hint.
Oh.
Right. Now, that's
it smoked out the Capitol House?
It did.
Oh, my God.
It kept burning popcorn, and it set off the fire alarms. Fire department responded twice in one day. It happened numerous. Here they're trying to bring everyone together with popcorn. Hold on. I've never smoked out my house. We've got a semi-professional popcorn maker. We've never burned popcorn where it sets off the smoke alarm.
Look, if that element doesn't shut off, or if you forget to set the timer and it keeps going, it'll burn that oil. It'll billow smoke.
Well, dude, there's no timer. You watch it. I mean, and by the way, you know what? Somebody must have just started it and then walked away. You can't. Once the popcorn stops popping, you know, I typically, once there's like no pops within like 2 seconds, I turn the little, you know, the motor off, and I turn the heating element off, and then you dump the kettle and you've got delicious popcorn. But I've never smoked out my house with the pop. Never. We've made hundreds of batches of popcorn.
The legislators in Bismarck apparently aren't quite as popcorn savvy as you are.
Representative Mary Johnson was on our third batch of popcorn Monday afternoon. This is last week when the machine starts smoking and sets off the fire alarms.
That's not a pleasant sound.
In the state capitol. Yeah. That is the worst. That's like that office fire alarm. That is the worst. I mean, not that I find, you know, the home fire alarm any better. I mean, that's what we all have in our homes, is that deal right there. But here they're trying to bring people together with popcorn. Isn't that a pretty sad state of affairs? He did a popcorn machine to bring people together?
And to think that's going to work.
Nothing would make me cross the aisle faster than some nice movie theater style popcorn.
Things were a bit strained, and now I guess the strain is back. Popcorn Cheers provide people... What? Popcorn Cheers provide people a reason? A reason for what? And now it's gone. And that's the way it goes. That's according to one of the state reps there. I don't know who the hell he is. But the facility manager of the North Dakota State Capitol building says that it's against the policy anyway. So they put the machine in the building against policy to prevent the activation of the alarms. And now the machine is gone. So now they can go back to bickering and infighting and maybe some bashing and smashing and trashing. Tell you what, I've got a hankering for popcorn right now.
Seriously, you really didn't do me any favors by reading that story. I just want to chew in some popcorn.
I need to send Coop to my house. Michelle, fire up the machine right now. And Coop, you know, I can bring the machine here. It's not that big.
Bring us all together.
Yeah.
Put it right there in the corner.
We'll just pop it. We'll have popcorn sounds going on in the background. What do you think? And I got the grandma stories we got to get to. It's a loaded Monday. Don't move. There's an author that's going to join us this morning. Later on, I think 8:55. Have you ever heard of the book, The Lost Apothecary?
I'm very excited about this author and book.
Well, it's Michelle's reading it. I'm wondering if I should be. This is a crazy story, and we'll explain coming up.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
You got the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105 MJ here along with Fester and Froggy and Roxanne. And hey, guys, I'm a little concerned about Froggy. He's out of the room. Oh, here he comes. Froggy, you all right?
Hi, Froggy.
Yeah?
What's up with you today?
I just had a...
No, you're just out of the room. I mean, you've been out of the room like...
I had an incident.
You've been in the room. You've been in the studio now for, I mean, we've been on the air for close to an hour, and you've been in the studio, like, for a total of 4 minutes.
Not true.
All right, five.
Last break, I was holding in a reversal the entire break.
What?
I was holding in a reversal.
Oh, I know what that is.
The technical term.
For when you ingest something and then it reverses and goes back out?
Yeah, have you ever seen the hot dog eating contest?
Yes.
You're in a reversal.
Yes. Joey Chestnut.
You're kicked out.
Or would that be the pie eating contest in Stand By Me?
All right, any reversal is bad.
Reversal is a term coined by Major League Eating.
All right, so what is the reversal issue?
Well, you know, I've had stomach issues for years, you know, the double bleeding ulcers that almost took my life. So I chugged a thing of coffee 2 breaks ago, a whole cup, chugged it. Right. I like to let it sit, get a little cool, and then chug it, and that didn't work this morning. So the last break, I was holding in my reversal the entire break, which is why I couldn't even talk, because I was sitting here sweating going,
why did you just leave?
Did you see me just get up and leave?
I did, but why did you even get to the point where you had to hold it in?
I was trying to fight the reversal.
How much coffee did you chug that it was then going to come back?
You know my News Channel 8 cup?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was filled?
Two of those.
Was it the work coffee?
Yeah, it's something about the coffee here. Ooh. It really upsets my tummy.
That was a double bag of the strong stuff.
But listen, I gotta say something right now.
Yes.
I feel like $1 million.
Now you do.
Oh, I feel great.
We started the show and MJ brought up a story about how 8% of people feel rested and you're like, I feel great. And then you're gone for like half an hour and then I see you waddling in.
And when I looked out the window, it's kind of dark, but did I see you outside?
Yeah, well, last break I was dumping some stuff in the local dumpster here.
What? You're what? You're admitting that?
I can't do that?
Hold on a minute.
It's in our parking lot.
Wait a minute.
Do that. I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute. You have a bunch of stuff in your pickup truck and you're dumping it in the office park dumpster?
I think it's in our office. Maybe it's the other office.
It doesn't matter. We pay rent here, MJ.
Wait, next break, I need you to help me get a freezer out of my truck.
What are you dumping in the Koger dumpster?
My freezer. And then three car seats that my kids outgrew.
What a great idea. And now I know what to do with all my stuff.
Those pieces of the old shuffleboard table that I jumped through 3 months ago, that's still in my truck. I got to dump that.
I'm coughing. Sorry. A
couple garbage cans.
Okay, so listen.
Oh, the old microwave?
Why are you even... You got me laughing so hard here. I'm coughing.
You okay?
God, I'm glad I have a mask on. It's not COVID, folks.
Don't reversal, please.
No, I won't. Oh, my God. So you brought a whole pickup truck worth of... trash?
Well, the dump was closed yesterday.
But why would the dump be closed yesterday?
I don't know. It was closed on Sundays.
Oh, it is?
It's a Sunday. Yeah.
Is that the one off a line ball? Yes. The one off a line ball for you?
Yeah, I went there with a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm like, it's closed. I'll just take it to the Koger dump.
Yeah, the Hillsborough County dump.
I can't. Please, it's right there. It's empty. Well, it's not empty anymore.
I don't know if you're permitted to bring a freezer, car seats, and all these bulky items to toss into their dumpster.
Definitely the shuffleboard item.
Yeah, I don't know that you're not permitted either, though. You could be in the. You could be fine.
I can't get the freezer off myself. So next break, will you help me?
How big?
Before the sun comes up, I need to get this done.
How big is this freezer?
Are you okay? No, you're gonna puke.
I tell you, if you needed to get rid of something, you should have called me because you know I'm a prolific dumper.
It's a good freezer if anybody wants it.
If anybody wants to know the best spot to get rid of furniture or appliances, just call me. I'll tell you.
Geez, will you stop it?
It's called Any Big Lots.
MJ, the
behind
the, to call you now.
Hold on, you dump stuff behind the Big Lots?
I must have cleared my house out over the years 3 times behind the Big Lots. Just every couch behind the Big Lots.
Then Big Lots puts it on their floor. Well, tries to sell it.
No. I've talked about couch dumping for years on this program.
Yeah. This city.
Oof. Yeah, typically. Well, listen, I live in Tampa, and it's amazing the number of couches that you see just dumped on the side of the road. It's like, honey, yeah, time to get rid of the couch. You know, we don't want to pay college hunks hauling junk or whatever, or taking it to the dump. People, it's like they're driving down West Shore. Oh, this is a good spot right here on the corner, right outside of Culbreth Isles.
Just leave it on Del Mabry.
Just dump a couch right here at 3 o'clock in the morning. So how much crap have you dumped behind Big Lots, Vester?
I don't know, 50 things?
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean,
is it one particular Big Lots or is it multiple Big Lots?
I mean, there's a Big Lot in my community that I frequent the most. But yeah, any Big Lots, any kind of like TJ Maxx, big parking, the back. You have to do it in the backside.
What was the last time that you dumped behind Big Lots near your house?
Wednesday.
Dude.
You know, another good spot is dollar store.
Dollar Generals.
Dollar Generals.
Dollar Generals. Because Dollar Generals, a lot of them are freestanding buildings, yeah, and you could do the drive around.
Yeah. That's important. You don't want to go through like a strip mall because then you're stuck behind it and there's cameras everywhere.
And that's a good point. You need to dump at a strip mall that has easy in, easy out.
Easy in. And then wet paper towel on the license plate. You don't want anybody to get your license plate.
What is you guys are like horrific crime spree scofflaws here.
We're dumpers.
Hey, dude, I took your advice last year when I drove through Chicago and I threw a wet paper towel on my license plate and I beat all the tolls.
See? There you go.
You guys are horrific.
Yes, that's great.
You guys do need to talk to Doug and give him all this dumping advice because we have stuff piling up around our house. And he obviously doesn't know these tricks.
Well, he's a builder. He builds houses. Why doesn't he use a dumpster as construction site?
For real.
Doug.
Listen, for a couple of bucks, Froggy and I will go buy in his truck and dump it.
Hey, that treehouse where Gatsby climbed the ladder, we're getting ready to dismantle that. You want to... Uh-huh. You want to bring your pickup truck by and get all the wood and dump that somewhere for me?
Absolutely. Fester will back this up. There is some sort of a high you get when you dump. It's like I'm breaking the law. I might get caught.
Go,
let's get out of here. Come on. And then when you do it, you're like,
a dumping high?
It's like a heist.
Endorphins or something?
I get an endorphin rush like I'm one of the Reservoir Dogs or something.
Like you're a runner and you're having that endorphin rush?
It's like I got away with the most pointless, worthless thing ever.
It's not a runner's high. You've got a couch dumping high.
It's a dumper's high.
My God.
Some of the texters don't like it.
What am I working with here?
Smart.
Who am I working with? What are the texters saying?
They call it a theft of service.
It is.
Hey, yeah. Why don't you drive and not text?
Yeah, seriously.
Now you're yelling at our texters.
We have some pretty irresponsible texters driving on the interstate.
I'm going to banish. It's going to be the MJ and Roxanne show. I'm going to banish you guys.
I'd make the worst decision you can make.
All right. 800-990-1047, by the way. If you ever want to text us, it's the same number as calling us. And, of course, you can call us anytime. If you have anything to add to the show, 800-990-1047. And, of course, you can text us as well. Same number, 800-990-1047. All right, I didn't get to the water story. There is a brand of bottled water that's been pulled off the market. FDA's freaking out. I've got a mea culpa video from the owner of the company because people are getting liver failure from bottled water. I'm like, what the heck? All right, hold on to that thought. We'll get to it next. MJ Morning Show, Q105.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Roxanne, are nasty texts still coming in for Fester and Froggy?
It's kind of split. So we've got people totally in support of it. They want to hire them.
Ooh, the dumpers.
Yes.
So, and Fester and Froggy junk hauling services, where they just dump, they pick up your stuff and then dump it behind a Big Lots.
We'll dump what you won't.
Yep.
Is there still a Big Lots behind or at Britain Plaza? Is there still one there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's on the other side. Yeah.
Britain Plaza, right? Across from the movie theater, right?
You know, supermarkets is one you want to stay away from.
Pawn shops is good. Behind pawn shops, they always have big dumpsters filled with crap.
You guys are killing me. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Have you guys ever heard of real water?
Real water, like the real stuff that we drink?
It's a bottle. No, this is a brand.
Oh, it's a brand.
It's real. Well, yeah, I'm not talking about water, actual real.
I've heard of real water. It's in my faucet every morning, yes.
The founder of a bottled water company called Real Water is now publicly apologizing after five kids who drank the product came down with liver failure. Real Water President Brent Jones issued a mea culpa video because the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, they're investigating this alkaline water. So the water has a higher alkaline number, a higher pH of alkaline, and it's been linked to several cases of hepatitis and then liver failure, and I guess it's affected five kids so far.
Oh, my God.
It's an Arizona-based company. The feds say five infants and children out west. Can you buy this stuff here? I'm like, wait, that is not good for business. If you have a company called Real Water, and it's an alkalized water, and I've read, you know, the pros and cons of having a little more alkaline in your water if you're working out, whatever. But that is probably not good for business if you sell a bottled water and then the next thing you got kids in the hospital with liver failure.
From drinking one bottle of it will kill your liver?
I don't know if it's one bottle. All right, here's the audio. This is the guy. This is the owner of the company. His name is Brent Jones. I went to the Real Water website, and it's like the site is down for maintenance, but then there was a link to the YouTube video. I haven't even heard this thing yet. But if you've got Real Water, it's bottled water. I'm looking at like a picture of the bottles of the water. Like it's like a bottled water you'd buy at any store. All right, listen to this.
Hello. We feel it is important to issue a personal statement regarding the recent FDA investigation associated with Real Water. First, we'd like to express our deepest sympathy and concern over the events that led to the inquiry. We started Real Water over 13 years ago with the intention to provide a healthy product that benefits and elevates people's lifestyles.
All right.
We're deeply saddened to learn that anything otherwise could be the result. I often reach out to tell you about Real Water's commitment to quality. Your trust matters to me, and I'm proud of how far we've come. Therefore, this recall is deeply concerning because you should never have any worry about the safety of any of our products.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't drink a bottle of water and then have to worry about your liver failing and then having to need a liver transplant.
Water's hard to mess up like that.
The heck, unless it's like contaminated with all kinds of chemicals.
The guy seems pretty sincere. I mean, it sucks for his business, but
yeah,
can't hurt kids.
Anyway, I just warning, if you've got some Real Water, that's the name of the brand, Real Water, and the label says alkalized water, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Festa, did you do your road trip over the weekend?
You know what? I thought about it. I offered to go with you. Just laughed at me.
Yeah, look, I'm taking a 2.5 hour drive across the state and then a 2.5 hour drive back to go to a gas station.
A friend of mine drove by it and said it was packed. All 100 and some odd pumps were just taken, lying around the block.
All right, here's the deal. Festa got all excited because a new location of Bucky's. It's a Texas-based gas station convenience store, and it's like nothing you've ever seen.
Why do people love this place? I've heard about this.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Disney World.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, can you imagine Disney World with gas pumps and beef jerky?
That's it.
I mean, that's what, and Funyuns. That's what this place is all about.
It's quite a sight.
I was driving. I was doing, this is back probably in 2013. I was doing a Schnitt Show affiliate tour. So I was visiting a bunch of my affiliates around the country. I was doing my show from their studios. And I had to drive. It was just more convenient to drive from San Antonio. I was visiting my San Antonio affiliate, and I was driving to my Houston affiliate for the Schnitt Show. And I'm driving down the interstate. I don't even know what it was. Was it I-10 or whatever? I'm in between San Antonio and Houston, and I look on the it's like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and I'm looking on the horizon. I'm like, oh, my God, is that a nuclear explosion up ahead? There was just this light bomb. I'm like, a star has exploded. Someone's discovered nuclear fusion, controlled cold fusion down the road. It was the biggest dome of light on the horizon. It was like 400 football stadiums. I'm like, what is that light? It was this glow. And it's miles and miles away. And then as I get closer and closer, I look off to the side and it's a gas station. And it's like as bright as four suns.
It's like when you're in the Las Vegas desert driving in and you first see the lights from Vegas.
No.
Brighter.
No, that would be like a pen light next to the Buc-ee's that I saw in Texas. I'm like, oh, my God. So I got off of the exit and I drove in there. And then there are more gas pumps than in the entire state of Maine in this one spot, in this one gas station. So Fester got all excited because, what are there, two Buc-ee's locations now in Florida?
Yeah, they're both off of I-95. One's in St. Augustine area, one's near Daytona, which is a lot closer to the Tampa Bay area.
That's crazy. The only time I've been to one is in Texas, too, and people were really excited to see that place.
Yeah, Fester.
Gas station.
It's a gas station convenience store, but again, it's like nothing you've ever seen. But Fester wanted me to leave my family. I have Julian home for 3 weekends on spring break.
Oh, should have went. Julian.
We could have taken Julian. That would have been awesome.
Julian doesn't want to drive to a gas station, Fester.
The hell he doesn't.
He doesn't want to drive to a gas. Come on.
It's not a gas station.
It's a city.
It's Mecca.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it's a city. It's bigger than Largo.
It's a pretty serious gas station convenience store. So you did not go?
No, I didn't go. I wanted to go with you. We haven't made a video game, have a little bit of fun.
I'm not going to I'm not driving 5 hours back and forth to go to a gas station. If I find myself on I-95 near St. Augustine, how many are there? Daytona and where?
There's two in the state of Florida. One south of St. Augustine, I think, and one near Daytona.
All right. If I find myself on I-95, then I will stop. But I'm not taking a trip just to go to a gas station.
I do love their slogan.
What's that?
Potty like a rock star.
The cleanest bathrooms in America is what they tell.
Yes, they every time someone uses the bathroom, they demolish it and build a new one.
They have enough people there.
It's 24-hour construction. As soon as somebody does a number, one or two, boom, they wreck the place. They demolish it and build a brand new. All new toilets brought in, everything. Yeah, Coop, did you need something?
Our listeners love Buc-ee's, apparently.
I'm telling you.
Everybody loves Buc-ee's.
We got a couple calls on hold if you want to take one.
Yeah, I'll take one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Is this Tabitha?
Yes.
Hey, Tabitha. I had no idea we'd be talking about a gas station today. Tabitha, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Go ahead.
Yes. We went to Buc-ee's. Actually, my brother and sister-in-law kept saying, when you go out to California, you have to stop at the Buc-ee's.
In Texas.
And I said, okay, we'll stop at the Buc-ee's. And my sister-in-law said, you have to go to the bathroom. Of all the things, nothing else, go to the bathrooms. Oh, my God. And for a truck stop, the bathrooms are awesome. They're huge.
This is amazing. We're going, hey kids, we're going on vacation. We're going to a Buc-ee's truck stop. We're going to a bathroom on spring break, folks.
Yay, mommy.
Exactly. And, I mean, for anything, I mean, you wouldn't think that a truck stop, you would be going to a bathroom that was that clean and be that big. I mean,
Tabitha, thanks.
You're the size of Disney World.
God, you love Buc-ee's.
Listen to this. The sun, that's unbelievable. All right, Tabitha, thanks for the call. This is not, I mean, the people are reacting like this is like a Powerball win going to the bathroom.
MJ, I legit went to my wife last night and said, hey, let's spend Easter at Buc-ee's.
Okay,
and she's like, screw you.
Do your egg hunt with a hide to Megs near the gas pumps.
That'd be awesome.
7:14, it's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Unbelievable. Man, I'm so backed up. All right. You got me all delayed here on the Buc-ee's thing, Fester.
We should have gone.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. I still can't get over how excited that caller was about that gas station Buc-ee's over on the East Coast. I mean, look at Coop. Coop's in there going, oh my God.
I was not expecting that.
I mean, it was like she was having the big O. Over a gas station.
They got a really good thing going, that Buc-ee's.
I'm telling you.
I had to step away from the text line because I can't do any more Buc-ee's talk right now.
How many? Hundreds?
Not hundreds, but
dozens?
Yeah.
Dozens of texts?
Dozens.
And by the way, Buc-ee's is spelled B-U-C and then like hyphen E. How do you spell it?
Yeah, BUC-EES or something like that.
Yeah, the apostrophe S.
And there are two locations in Florida. They're both East Coast off of I-95, right?
Yes.
And they are the craziest gas station, convenience store, truck stop you've ever seen. All right, moving along here. Unbelievable. Oh, there's like huge blowback on the shrimp dude. You know, the shrimp tail dude where he found the shrimp tails and the other items inside the Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
You mean Mr. Topanga?
Oh, yeah, he's married to Topanga. What's her real name?
Danielle Fishel, I think.
From Boy Meets World. And this is the dude, the story that went just totally viral last week, where he claims to have found bitten off used discarded shrimp tails. Like you have some peel and eat shrimp. You eat the shrimp and you toss the tail. And he had two shrimp tails coated in cinnamon sugary coating inside his bag of Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. And then they found dental floss in the cereal. They said that a bunch of the squares had black spots all. I mean, the craziest thing in the world. And you got General Mills, which makes Cinnamon Toast Crunch. They're saying that, no, this did not happen at our place, which I tend to believe that. It's almost like, but wait a minute. But the shrimp tails were covered in the cinnamony. It's almost like it went through the process. What are the chances that some guy or woman, they were just having lunch and they work in the production line and they accidentally, maybe they were in a shirt or they were eating shrimp and the tails got stuck in their clothing. They fell.
This is too much. Okay. No.
Fell off on the conveyor belt where they make the
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
All right, in my life, I've probably eaten 5,000 shrimp and I've never taken the tail and put it in my pocket.
You've had way more than 5,000 shrimp in here. Dude, I mean, who are we talking
here? I'm telling you, I'm sure that shrimp remnants and tails have ended up on parts of your body or in folds or wherever. Pockets, I'm sure that's occurred.
Maybe someone was wearing a bib when they ate the shrimp tails. They fell in the bib and then they fell in the conveyor.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is the fact that this guy put himself out there. This comedian and television writer by the name of Jensen Karp, who's the husband of Topanga from Boy Meets World. The internet's now turning on this guy, and like everybody that he's done something to is coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, no.
And they're trying to say that he's a manipulative creep, and people don't
what?
Like it. Yeah.
He's a terrible ex-boyfriend of somebody. He cheated somebody.
On social media, they're turning against him. This guy, Karp, is 41. He's now being accused of lying, stealing a podcast concept, shaming a former sex partner, all kinds of allegations, all because he got into the limelight here, the spotlight, because of the whole shrimp story.
Well, who hasn't shamed an ex-sex partner before?
Listen to this. Ha, ha, ha. My quickly deleted subtweet yesterday said, oh, no, I can't follow the latest viral saga because I was blocked in 2014 because I was not gracious enough after a surprise threesome.
Ooh.
But not before I was told to be careful or I would never work in this town again. That's according to a screenwriter, Stephanie Mikus.
Wait, was Topanga in the mix on this?
Does she know about this?
What she's claiming here is that she must have been working with him, and he sprung a threesome concept on her.
If you're down with it, blink your eyes.
Also, the amount of women who've DM'd me today with stories, let alone the ones that I've known about for years and talked to, talk to these individuals. I mean, they're going after this guy.
This guy has plenty of enemies in town.
He's like Pat O'Brien all of a sudden.
He's got as many skeletons in his closet as there were shrimp tails in that bag.
Well, there were only two shrimp tails in the bag.
Well, maybe he just has two skeletons with a lot of bones.
Yeah. He's got a bunch.
Actress Melissa Shetton. Gotta be careful saying that word. That's almost as, gotta be careful saying Schnitten, Shetton. Yeah.
When a guy named Schnitt says you have to be careful saying your last name, you know you're screwed.
She went on Twitter and issued a PSA regarding Karp's treatment of her when they dated. What you may not know about the man behind the viral posts, what like he's a manipulative, gaslighting, narcissistic ex-boyfriend who once told me he was surprised I hadn't killed myself because my life was so worthless? Oh, my God.
And this guy accused Cinnamon Toast Crunch of gaslighting.
He better not talk that way to Topanga.
Just FYI, the shrimp tails guy is both a marketing professional and someone who's lied to my face without flinching. That's a painter by the name of Brandon Bird. My God.
A painter?
Yeah, these seem like, some of them seem like pretty petty gripes against this guy.
Podcaster and comedian John Cullen, meanwhile, claims that Karp has stolen intellectual property. Next thing you know, Shrimp Man will claim that he found the podcast idea and name the and the name he stole from us in a bag of Cheerios.
What?
Apparently, this guy Cullen had a podcast concept, and this Karp guy might have ripped it off and
stole it.
Wait a second. Cheerios? What?
What is he talking about Cheerios
for? No, he's joking because he's saying next he's going to claim that he found the podcast concept that he stole in a bag of Cheerios, not Cinnamon Toast Crunch. All right. Karp's not the only person to achieve sudden internet fame for relatively, a banal tweet, only to have the tides turn on him. There's a name.
There's a term. I've never heard this term before.
So you put out a tweet. It's sort of a interesting little tweet. And then people who you've had dealings with then turn on you, and the internet just flips out on you. The term is milkshake duct?
Yes.
Ew, that sounds gross.
Explain that. What is that?
Sounds delicious.
All right, milkshake duct. When you get milkshake ducted, you put something out there on the internet, maybe you're trying to bust somebody else's chops, and everybody who has a beef against you comes out against you. So you think...
What does that have to do with milk ducts?
Where does the term milkshake duct come from?
Listen, I don't
understand the term.
I don't invent the terms. I'm just telling you what it means.
I know what milk ducts are.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm sure you do. My God, that's just bizarre. All right, stand by, folks. Derek Jeter and his big mansion on Davis Islands. I was reading a New York Post piece about how he can't sell the home. And I couldn't believe how many things are just flat out wrong in the New York Post piece on Derek Jeter's Davis Islands Tampa mansion. So I want to get into that. And then, Fester, you've got buyer's remorse, right?
I never bought anything like this before, and I
have no idea what this is. Fester said, just let me talk about buyer's remorse.
I haven't even told my wife about what I bought.
You did not?
No.
Uh-oh.
I haven't. She has no idea.
So your wife is going to find out about it for the first time next?
Yes.
All right. Well, this ought to be interesting.
I mean...
All right, Jeter and Buyer's Remorse and Fester next, MJ Morning Show.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. You're listening to Q105. Don't forget, the COVID-19 vaccine age has dropped to 40. Oh, Lordy, it's 40. So 40 years old today. And then next week it goes to 18 plus. Who's signed? I just heard someone go,
Could have been me.
Why are you sighing?
Because I like to do this thing once in a while, just breathing. So I had to breathe.
Oh, by the way.
And I'm getting my shot today.
Oh, you are? Oh,
yes, cool. Right after the show.
Where are you getting yours?
The horse track down the street.
You mean the dog track?
Dog track. The dog track. Is it the one? Which shot's there? Which one is it?
Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about...
Which shot is there now? Is it the one?
I don't know.
Johnson & Johnson?
Are you talking about the Tampa dog track?
Yes.
Or the
one that you went to.
Yeah, that's the Tampa dog track, the former Greyhound track on Waters and I-275, right past Bird.
Yeah, you said they were going to the one shot deal.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing now. They might still be doing like 500 doses a day of Pfizer, but they're going to be phasing that out and going to the one-shot Johnson & Johnson. Michelle and I, our appointment is on the 13th, so we've got an exact time to go back to the dog track to get our second Pfizer dose.
Now, the Columbus Drive location, they are phasing to Johnson & Johnson. That'll be available on Thursday of this week.
So, that's the stadium, right?
And by the way, folks, a few minutes ago, Fester and Froggy dumped a massive freezer into the dumpster here at the Koger Office Park, and you took a picture of it?
Oh, so proud of my work.
Dude, you're going to be so much in
trouble. I'm not in trouble.
You're going to hear about this. You filled up the entire dumpster.
That's not my freezer. I'm just kidding. I just saw that there. just happened to be a freezer in the dumpster in our parking lot.
All right. The Derek Jeter story. We got a lot of stuff to cover here. Oh, and a wedding. Next segment, we got to talk about a theme for a wedding and how many women would be okay with this particular wedding theme. This is a crazy story. I got to believe that most women would say, not a chance over my dead body.
What is it, like stripper pole
well,
theme?
Hang on. We'll get into it in the next segment. First, the Derek Jeter story. And I saw this late last week in the New York Post. And the headline caught my attention. I'm going through all my, you know, various sites that I check out, about 100 a day. And I see a headline, New York Post says, Derek Jeter can win 5 World Series but can't sell his $29 million mansion. And, of course, we're talking about the Tampa Davis Islands mansion on Bahama Circle. And I've got friends that live right across, or very good friends live right across the street. But I couldn't believe in the New York Post story how many things were just wrong. Just facts that they got wrong. This is only going to take a second here. But, you know, it says Tom Brady and his family used to live in the house. It's getting no hits after 190 days on the market, the Post has learned. And, of course, Jeter went to Miami because of the Marlins, and Tom Brady rented the house. But listen to this. The former Yankee and Hall of Famer first purchased the home back in 2005 for $2.3 million. But following a series of extensive renovations, Jeter, 46, is hoping to cash in on a hefty profit. That is wrong.
Wasn't it a complete reboot?
It was a demo. They bought an old knockdown house for $2.3 million for just the land value. They bought, it was just the land value. They knocked the house down and they built an all new, this makes it seem like they renovated an existing house. No, this was ground up construction. Like, so that's mistake number one.
Derek Jeter called Joanne Gaines to come over, and she totally redid it in farmhouse style.
And Chip.
Yeah, you can't forget Chip. And
Chip's got to be there.
And the two of them octupled the value of the property.
Could he have overbuilt that thing? I mean, that it's so big and huge that nobody's going to buy it?
Yes, you can over. Hey, isn't that the Michael Jordan house that's been on the market for like nine or 10 years? Is it outside of Chicago?
His Chicago mansion that he lived in while he played for the Bulls is vacant.
I mean, it's been vacant for like 10 years. Elephant. It is. Nobody wants the thing. It's a monstrosity.
When you build a house that only the Sultan of Brunei can afford to buy from you, you're kind of screwed.
Here's mistake number two in the New York Post story. He first listed the estate in September for a whopping $29 million after Brady, 43, moved out.
False.
That is incorrect.
Falsehoods. Hold on. Rox is a little too close to the situation. False.
But false.
Because
Brady's been there since it's been listed.
Brady and Giselle moved out after the Super Bowl concluded. They were in there the whole season. They won the Super Bowl on February 7th, and in the subsequent weeks, you know, they might be out for 3 weeks or a month at this point.
Well, Tom Brady was in the house when James Corden did the interview with him. That was 2 weeks ago.
Was he still in that? Right. He was. When did Corden did a Zoom interview?
A couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
James Corden from the CBS James Corden show. That's probably the best late night show on TV, by the way. You know, he comes on after Colbert, and he does a really good job. That's right. He did the interview inside that house. And that was, I think, what is that?
He's about to break his chair. Right,
hold on.
He's trying to move.
We've got a serious, I guess, mechanical issue in the studio today.
Professor's chair is about to collapse under his weight.
My chair and Roxanne's chair has been switched over the weekend, and we acknowledged it, but we didn't do anything about it. But Roxanne's chair is about to collapse underneath my weight.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, Rox.
You're like bending the frame. It's going to be ruined.
That's just the arm. That's just the arm me trying to push up.
Do you hear the noise? Professor's chair is about to buckle under his weight.
Sounds like it's crying.
Please.
It's screaming out for help.
Sorry.
Where did Roxanne go?
But, I mean, this story is just, this New York Post story is riddled with problems. This insinuates that Tom Brady moved out in September and then they put the house on the market. No, Tom Brady just left the house on Davis Islands in the last couple of weeks or so.
If this writer watched the James Corden show, she'd know that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take, how about the fact that He didn't extensively remodel. He bulldozed an old house and built a new one.
That is the most extensive remodeling possible.
You know, and the reason why Tom Brady's not staying, or the reason why Tom Brady's not buying it, is, you know, he's it's a privacy issue, because anyone can drive right by the house, and then also in the water in the back, any boat can just come right up to your seawall.
You can't even hang out in your backyard.
So, listen, I understand the privacy issue. All right, Fessy, you've got buyer's remorse. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, hold on to that thought. Fester's got, first of all, I don't know what this is, folks, so he's going to surprise us all. And then a wedding theme. Ladies, would you go for this if your husband-to-be proposed it? Coming up.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
You got the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. We'll have the Trip a Day song in just a matter of moments. Keep listening. We'll give you the title, the song name, the whole shebang. We'll tell you what time it's going to replay later today so you can win the Trip a Day right here on Q105. Stand by. All right, before we get into your buyer's remorse, we also have this wedding shaming thing, and I'm sure this is going to blow up the phones. Just My Tease already has the text going, right?
Yeah, someone said that her daughter is having a terror-themed wedding, Terror Before Christmas, because it's a December wedding.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on to that thought. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. All right, quickly, Fester, before we get to your buyer's remorse deal, which we have no... Fester's about to spring this on us. This is like a content surprise. I have no idea what Fester's buyer remorse is. Fester just said, are you aware of what's going on with Lily, the AT&T spokeswoman in the AT&T commercials? And they're running a lot of spots during the NCAA, the championship. We're down to the Elite Eight, by the way, on the way to the Final Four. It's Milana Weintraub. Is that how you say her name?
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. I enjoy her commercials. I think she's a talented.
All right, so Frog, you know who she is?
I follow her on IG, bro. She's hot.
What, are you stalking her?
No, I'm just a fan of Lily.
Well, apparently people have noticed that Lily from the AT&T commercials, that she is now standing behind desks, and all you're seeing is like from her from the chest up or the waist up, and she's standing behind display racks or cases, and you don't see her whole body any longer. And apparently... she has said that she's been getting a lot of, why are they placing her body like that in those ads? And she said, well, I direct the ads myself, and I'm placing, is that true? She's directing the commercials herself?
I'm sure they consult her during the, especially if she voiced that she doesn't feel comfortable.
Well, here's the deal. Apparently she's directing the ads, and she says that she's not showing her whole body any longer because, quote, it's because of the thousands of unwelcome comments I receive about my body. You've lost the privilege of looking at it until I feel safe again.
I just have to point this out. We didn't have this problem before social media.
Thank you, Roxanne.
People didn't body shame.
We didn't have that problem before electricity either, MJ.
There's nothing to shame about her body.
I got to be honest. I'm not fixated on this woman. Froggy, obviously you are. If you're following her on Instagram, does she have a great body?
Yeah, she's a very voluptuous young lady. She's a normal body.
She's a beautiful woman. And she has this national platform being the AT&T spokesperson, and internet trolls is essentially ruining her life.
All right, so you don't get to see her body anymore. She's putting her, pretty much, it's just going to be her eyeballs through slits.
Good for her.
She's going to be like, all right, let's get a new spokesperson here, Lily.
As long as Flo keeps wearing those tight overalls in the progressive commercials, I'm in a good place.
All right, Fester, tell me about your buyer's remorse. We don't know what this is, folks, so it's a surprise to the audience. It's a surprise to me and Froggy and Roxanne. What is your buyer's remorse, Fester?
I don't ever buy anything like this. This is the first thing I've ever bought like this ever.
What'd you buy?
It has to do with my car.
Well, you've got a 2004, and I think he's purchased tires in the past.
I've purchased several tires in my life, yes.
You've got a 2004 Lincoln Town Car.
Yes.
Which
is the finest car Detroit's ever produced.
We just stop it with
the
that.
The nicest thing to ever come out of the Wixom assembly plant.
We just stop it.
It's the truth.
All right, now, what is your buyer's remorse over your 2004 Lincoln Town Car?
It all starts with all this damn pollen. All this damn pollen. This is maybe the worst year I've ever seen of the pollen.
I would agree. It's one of the worst I've seen, yes.
And then my neighbor.
If you hear me coughing in the background, I did not have trouble with the pollen for the last 2 weeks, and just like the last 4 days, it's kicked in, hit me.
So my blue Lincoln now looks green because of all the yellow pollen on it. Then my neighbor.
Oh, because yellow and blue makes green.
Yeah, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, look at that.
So I'm okay driving a puke green Lincoln. I have no problem with that. Then my neighbor mows the lawn and blows the lawn with the blower.
A mow and blow?
A mow and blow.
I love the folks, and you see it all the time. They just blow their clippings all into the street. There's some guy, when you turn into my neighborhood off of, I live in Beach Park off of West Shore. There's some guy that I see this like once a week where he's got a leaf blower. He's just blowing all the crap right onto West Shore in South Tampa.
Yeah, the cars will carry away.
Blowing it into the cars. It's like, my God.
Oh, he's got it made living right on there in West Shore.
So it was a dry day. All the particles of the leaves get on my car. So now it's baked on dried leaves. And I'm like, you know what? I actually have to go wash my car, which I never do. I get to the drive. I get to the drive-through car wash automated place.
Yep.
You know how much a car wash is?
$19.95.
Is that
right?
It was like $20 for a car wash. Yeah. And I'm thinking, holy crap, that's so much money. I don't wash my car ever. But then it says, for $30, you can get unlimited car washes.
You bought a car wash, subscription?
I have a car wash membership.
You're in the car wash club?
They put a sticker on my windshield, and I just pull up, and it recognizes it, and it opens the gate. I haven't told my wife I bought this.
So it's $30 a month?
Yes.
What's 12 times 30?
12 times though,
360?
360, yeah.
$360 a year?
It's about a dollar a day.
For your turd of a car?
So you've got a car turd, a 2004 Lincoln Town Car. Don't tell me you're getting your car washed every day now.
I was there yesterday when they opened up at 9 a.m.
The paint's going to peel off your car, dude.
I haven't washed my car 6 times in the 4 years I've owned it.
And now you're washing it every day?
I washed it every day this week.
Can you go back multiple times a day? Like it's like 8 o'clock in the morning and then go back at 3?
I haven't tried that yet, but I imagine you can just get out, drive, circle back around, and go through again.
What if you want to wash your car every hour?
I mean, it's unlimited. It's an unlimited membership.
What if you just keep on going in and out and in and out?
So why are you having buyer's remorse then?
I mean, I feel bad. I mean, it's changing my life.
Your patterns.
Yeah, MG, I've never been to this car wash before. It's not too far from my house, so it's in my line of traffic.
You're addicted.
But I'm there every day now. I know what time they open.
Might as well face it, you're addicted to car washes.
They open up every day at 8 a.m. They open up Sundays at 9. I was there at 9:04 yesterday morning.
I hope you budgeted for the $15 to buy Glubigon to get that decal off your car.
All right, I've got a question. Professor, keep us up to speed on your car wash buyer's remorse here. And I'd like, we ought to try it, though. You ought to try to go every hour. You know what you ought to do? The minute you get out, you drive back around. The minute you get out of the car wash, just get in line and do it again. But do it for like 8 hours. I bought the car wash membership. I get unlimited car wash.
Run it again.
How long would it take for them to say something?
That would be a great video. Get our video crew out there, and then you do the speed up thing. You know, where they speed up the video, and you take all 8 hours of you going through the car wash nonstop, and you put it together like a 2-minute video. Oh, that might be funny.
That's viral.
That could go viral. Oh yeah,
especially in that crappy car.
All right, I've got a question for all of our. Well, listen, I guess it could apply for the guys as well, but I've got a question for our female listeners primarily. Has your husband to be, the groom, have you ever been hit with a wedding theme that you were not comfortable with? And this is the case in point here. A groom-to-be went on Reddit to complain that his fiance doesn't want him to have a Star Wars-themed wedding. He wants a Star Wars-themed wedding. And the fiance, the wife-to-be, is like, You're making this a mockery. You're going to make our wedding a total embarrassment. This guy apparently is a Star Wars geek, and he wants a Star Wars wedding.
He's a geek, all right.
I don't care if that guy's my brother. If I'm the best man, I'm not going to your Star Wars
wedding. The guy's screen name is Star Wars 20. I've got a question.
You married him.
I'll give you more details to the story, but I'd love to grab some phone calls here. Do we have any listeners whose fiancés, you know, the groom, husband-to-be, have you been hit with a bizarre wedding concept or wedding theme that caused difficulty, consternation, friction in the relationship? All right, 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Were you getting married and your husband-to-be hit you with some kind of a concept or theme which caused a problem? Any kind of a wedding theme problem? This guy wanted a Star Wars wedding, and the bride says, no way. You're making a mockery. You're going to make our wedding an embarrassment. All right, any wedding stories that fit this question? 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. We'll try to go to the phones next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
We got the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. MJ and the gang here at 808. And the trip-a-day song for a three-day getaway to the Tween Waters Resort on Captiva. Nice. It's going to be I Love Rock and Roll. That's Joan Jett. It'll play in the 6 o'clock hour later today. That's I Love Rock and Roll, Joan Jett, 6 o'clock. Make sure you listen and call when you hear it. You'll get full instructions from Mason later on, and you can win the trip a day. Good luck from the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. All right, the question is, have you had a husband-to-be want a themed wedding, and you wanted no part of it? The reason why I'm bringing this up is this bride-to-be complaining that the groom wants a Star Wars-themed wedding, and she says, what? This is going to be a total embarrassment. I'm not doing a Star Wars-themed wedding. So I want to hear from you if you had any issue. Have you ever had an argument with your husband-to-be, your groom? Did he want some type of a themed wedding? And listen, this can go both ways. If you're a guy, has your fiance, your bride-to-be, your wife-to-be, has she wanted some kind of crazy themed wedding? 800-990-1047. 800-9... You got to be kidding. Coop, line one? Oh, my God. Hold. Line one, Coop?
All right,
hold on a minute. I'll get to that in a second. 800, I want to hear your stories. 800-990-1047. And Roxanne is saying that the text lines are going crazy as well.
I remember my mother-in-law, she wanted to have a mafioso-themed rehearsal dinner.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she's cool. You know, I'm marrying a big Italian guy with a big Italian family. She's like, let's have a mafia or a Godfather-themed rehearsal dinner.
That didn't go over too well.
Robin is in Dunedin. Robin, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Did you have your husband-to-be want some crazy-themed wedding?
Well, he's now my ex-husband, and I affectionately, well, not so affectionately, refer to him as the Great and Powerful Oz.
What? Hold on. The Great and Powerful Oz?
The Great and Powerful Oz. He thinks it's a compliment. But anyway, he wanted a Wizard of Oz-themed wedding.
What?
Wanted to hire midgets for munchkins, wanted the whole hot air balloon ride afterwards.
What? You could have had a tornado come through. No. Little place card that said, welcome to Kansas. You're not in Kansas anymore?
Oh my God.
You know,
were you going to wear, like, red ruby shoes?
The whole relationship was much like a tornado.
My God. Well, did you have the Wizard of Oz themed wedding?
No, we were married outside in a park, what I wanted.
And how long did this marriage last?
Yeah, about 15 years. But yeah, I call him the Great and Powerful Oz.
You know
That's
what?
My nickname.
Yeah, you're really very short-sighted in all this. You could have had like the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man.
Who would have delivered the wedding vows? You know, the Tin Man,
the Scarecrow. Of course, it would have been a Scarecrow.
And then he could have leaned into a candle and caught on fire. Oh my God! Holy crap! On fire! It's on fire! Oh my God! It's on fire!
You know, when you walk down the aisle, it could have been yellow bricks.
Who are you guys?
Look at you, wedding planner.
There's a lot of possibilities.
You could have clicked your red ruby slippers together.
Well, maybe this can be someone else's dream now that I've put the idea out there for public consumption.
I got it. This sounds, I got to be honest, this sounds like some kind of a, you know, fantasy deal after, you know, a consummation fantasy deal is what this sounds like.
Like you'd go there on a theme for a honeymoon.
He's on his third marriage. Maybe there'll be a fourth one. Maybe wife number four will buy into it. Who knows?
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
You guys never had a dog, did you?
Yeah.
Did he have a Toto dog?
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
It didn't go quite that far.
All right. Thank you, Robin.
Oh, bye, guys.
Oh my gosh.
What a freak.
What are you getting on the text lines?
Okay, I wanted to get married on the replica grand staircase of the Titanic.
Oh, my God.
They have this experience in Orlando because I'm a huge Titanic fan, and we are getting married close to the anniversary of the wreck.
But the symbolism of the Titanic sinking and hundreds of people dying and drowning.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of 9/11, so I just want to, I mean, what is that?
Oh, my God. Yes, I'd like a Hindenburg-themed wedding.
Out of the humanity.
What else are you getting?
I would consider a Greece-themed wedding. That would be fun.
Oh, now we're talking.
That's not an issue.
Greece.
Greece as in the country of Greece?
Greece Lightning. No, Greece Lightning.
No, yeah, Greece, the movie. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John stuff. Yeah.
You're the one that I want.
Yes.
You're the one that I want.
Not a Greek wedding, MJ.
Oh, my God. My big Greek, big fat Greek wedding. My God, that's just nuts. Wizard of Oz wedding?
Just for the midgets alone, I'd go to that one.
Seriously.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. Hey, Froggy, when the light says, like, on air, that means we're kind of on air.
Sorry, me and Fess are having fun.
Yeah, you guys are just having some kind of conversation. All right, MJ Morning Show, this is Q105. We got the SeaWorld tickets coming up at 9:20, so a little less than an hour from right now. Just keep listening. I'll tell you when to call in to win SeaWorld tickets and a parking pass right here on Q105. I like the car wash concept. I think you ought to shoot a viral video of you just going over and over and over again with your little car wash membership.
You know, maybe I'd feel better about actually being a member of the club.
You get out of the car wash and you drive right back to the beginning and you pretend like it's you pretend like you haven't
That's
even
normal.
Been there.
Yeah.
Pay for that service.
Oh, that could be a pretty funny bit. All right, we'll keep you up to speed on that. Is this really needed? Pepsi is introducing a Peeps-flavored Pepsi. You know, I had the story last week. I just didn't get around to it. Of course, Easter is coming up this next weekend. So next Sunday is Easter. And Pepsi is doing a three-pack of, like, blue Peeps, pink Peeps, and yellow Peeps.
It's Peeps soda.
You know, that's a good point. Why didn't they name it Peepsy?
Yeah, that's the only name I could come up with that would make sense.
Because that sounds too much like pee-pee.
It's Peeps Pepsi. Why wouldn't they call it Peepsy? Because it's Peeps.
Peeps are gross.
Yeah, I'm not really into the whole Peeps. You know, there was a shortage last year because of the whole COVID thing. Wasn't there like a Peeps shortage?
Why?
Yeah,
is there ever
a Peeps shortage?
And
really?
Let me tell you right now, that affected my life like not ever at all.
It's Fester. Remember, like, 15 years ago, Fester tried to eat as many Peeps as possible, and he got sick.
Okay, first of all, right. It's called the Peeps Challenge.
Yep. And he got sick, like, really sick.
Hey, listen, the Marshmallow Challenge, don't mess with that, because haven't there been kids that have choked with the Marshmallow Challenge?
Probably.
Kids have suffocated.
All these dopey challenges because of online and viral videos and TikTok. It's like, stop, don't do goofy, stupid stuff.
So they have this Peeps soda, but you have to win it online, and they're only giving out like a little over 3,000 three-packs that'll be awarded via Twitter.
All right, coming up at 8:55-ish, so in about 25 minutes from right now, we are going to speak with the author of The Lost Apothecary. Now, we don't do book interviews typically on this program, but this is a little different. Because it turns out that Sarah Penner, who wrote The Lost Apothecary, and this is a New York Times bestseller, turns out that Michelle and Kim, Froggy's wife, they have their little book club, which is kind of a joke because they never meet, and it's only the two of them. They read this book. Michelle finished the book over the weekend, loved the book, and she blew through it. She was like, she couldn't put it down. And Michelle is reading the book. I'm like, what's that about? Oh, it's about this woman that poisons her husband,
What?
Comes up with all these, like, mixtures to poison her husband. I'm like, oh, nice. Should I be worried about this? So I tweeted this out.
Book is about?
Well, it's part of the book. And I tweeted out, should I be worried about this book? The author tweets me back. And it turns out she lives right in St. Petersburg. The author of The Lost Apothecary lives right here in St. Pete.
That's cool.
I didn't know that was through you. I thought the book club girls landed her.
No, I tweeted about it. We're going to get Michelle and I'm going to conference call Michelle and the author, Sarah Penner, in, I don't know, 25 minutes or so, just before 9 o'clock, about 8:55, so stand by. All right, folks, you cannot do this. This does not work. You cannot open the airplane door in midair. Why do people keep trying to do this? And they're trying to commit suicide? They're trying to take the whole plane down with them? Now, what airline do you think this is?
All right. That's always a trick question every time you
what
ask.
What airline do you think this is?
I think it's like the cheapest, lowest.
Well, I'll tell you, when I see these airplanes, which look like a yellow peep in the sky, I'm like, hey, wonder how many shirtless people in flip-flops are on that flight up there.
Look, I took a Spirit flight about a year. It was a fine experience.
What are we talking about?
I did. I flew from Tampa to Detroit on Spirit. Oh, it was great.
I've never flown.
So it was Spirit? Or was it my favorite airline, Lingus Air?
I've never flown Spirit. I'm telling you right now that I am never going to fly Spirit Airlines.
We'll see about that. They do look like God's loogies, like I say.
Well, I once read a story. The CEO of Spirit says, hey, our prices are so low, we can essentially do whatever the hell we want to our passengers, to our customers. I read an interview where essentially he said that our prices are so low that we can kick him in the
what's your free punch in the face, sir? Sure.
Oh,
thank you.
I mean, essentially, the CEO said that.
What a flight.
We do whatever we want to our customers because our prices are, where else they're going to go? You know, for the folks that are looking for the really, really. But then they start adding on. So I think you get sucked in with a cheap fare. And then, you want a cushion on your seat? That's $10. Oh, you want the seatbelt? Another $5.50.
Oh, you want ice in your drink?
Yeah.
Oh,
they don't even give out drinks.
$7.
You have to pay for a chair.
You want ice instead of air conditioning since we don't have air conditioning?
Does your story happen on a Spirit after all of this ribbing we're giving them?
No, this was United. Okay. No, I'm kidding. No, this was Spirit. No, a flight had to make an emergency landing. Yeah, flight 185 Spirit from Cleveland to L.A. had to land in Denver because some guy got up and tried to open the exit door mid-flight. It doesn't work, folks, because of the pressurized cabin. You cannot open the door mid-flight. It is a physical impossibility. All right? So for the umpteenth time, don't, wig out. Don't freak out. You know, try to take yourself and then, 200 people or 158 other people on the airplane? What are you thinking? So I mean, a lot of times you get people with mental problems that do this stuff. But it happens, and in all fairness, it happens on United, it happens on Delta, it happens on, I think I've probably seen it on virtually all the airlines.
Lingus.
Yeah. So.
Is that a real airline?
Yes, it's
Lingus Air. It's the one of the carriers from Ireland, I believe.
That's right.
Aer Lingus.
Get it right.
I've never been on Aer Lingus, by the way.
I have. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I have not.
I sat next to a fat girl who pressed her head against the window and left a grease mark on it. She was nice. I had to look at it.
Back in a minute, folks.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
You got the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Our power glitched like twice in the studio. I think you might have, or three times. I think you might have heard like the music maybe dip out for like a half a second. Much better than on Friday's show when we just went off the air when we just disappeared for like a minute and a half. Do you know they can't figure out what happened?
What's going on around here?
I don't know. But
there are no answers from Friday?
No idea. Our engineers do a fantastic job. They can't figure out what caused us to disappear for a minute and a half. Because the transmitter was still on and we went down over the air and on the stream. So it wasn't just a broadcast over FM issue. It was also on the internet stream, which is different than the transmitter when you listen on 104.7 FM. So it's bizarre. And we just had three power glitches. So you might have heard like the music during Annie Lennox and Eurythmics kind of glitch a little bit. You know, our lights flickered and noises went beep, 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 beep in here and all kinds of stuff. All right. You got the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. It's 8:38. And Roxanne, you want to talk about your little creepatola issue? I don't know what I would have done.
It's very strange.
This is a very, very odd story that happened to Roxanne. You want to tell the story?
I'll tell it.
You're outside a restaurant.
Right.
And what happened?
So I'm there with my two daughters.
Where were you?
At a smoothie restaurant in West Chase.
Which one? Like
the smoothie
tropical
hut?
Smoothie cafe?
No, it was actually an acai bowl place.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I'm in front of...
You went to an ass bowl place?
What? Who was it? Coop doesn't know how to pronounce that word. Is that you, Coop?
Is it acai?
Yeah, it's
with
acai.
With that funny little squiggle on the bottom?
Acai.
Like a curacao, a curacao squiggle under the
sea? Who gives a turkey? Come on, what's the story?
All right, so you're outside, what happens?
Okay, so I'm sitting there with both of my daughters, a 3.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and this man walks up to me very quickly. I didn't even see him park a car or anything. He kind of like comes up on me, grabs my hand out of my lap and shakes my hand and starts, you know, talking to me very close.
During COVID, a guy walks up to you. You're outside. He walks up to you, grabs your hand out of your lap.
Yes.
And starts shaking your hand.
Yes.
That's assault.
And so, of course, I'm glad you brought that up because it is during a time period where social graces don't really allow for someone to come up to you and shake your hand when you don't extend your hand.
Yeah,
we're not in that kind of world.
Don't ever touch me in public, people.
Yes. So I'm sitting there and I'm processing this. He's talking to me. He was friendly. He was very friendly. He was like, how are you doing? So nice to meet you. You look like a very positive person.
Did he know you?
No idea that you were on our morning show. No, nothing like that. And so I'm sitting there and you're just
He hasn't seen you on great commercials like Lakeland Discount Pool and Spa?
No, that he has not seen.
All right, okay, all right.
You wouldn't recognize her from that.
All right, what else?
So I'm just thinking to myself, it's funny how you're in that flight or fight mode, and you're like, okay, what do I do here? I've got my two kids here. Fight. I look over, there's a table of 10-year-old boys, two tables down. They're the only ones who can really see us in here.
You pull out your nunchucks.
So
or your Glock 9mm that you have in your purse, right?
Exactly. That, or you just sort of try to be nice and buy some time and think about what you're going to do. So I'm sort of answering his questions and saying, who can see me right now?
Why didn't you just say, sir, please get away? Or did you think that would exacerbate things?
Exactly. He hasn't done anything unfriendly. He's just done something inappropriate.
He reaches into your lap and grabs your hand?
Yes, very strange. So then he asked me a question. I said, yeah, I've lived here for however many years. And he said, that's bleeping cool.
Why
are you giving him details?
Why are you talking to him?
Did I just not explain, guys? I'm trying to buy time to figure out who can help me. I'm thinking, is he going to try and accost me? Is he going to try and kidnap my children? What is his end game? Is he trying to sell something to me?
The closest people are how far away? You said you had two.
One empty table and then a table full of 10-year-old boys who were waiting for mom to come out with their food.
Well, you want the 10-year-old boys? That's like midgets. They're not going to do anything.
It's not like you had a bunch of let's roll 9/11 Flight 93 guys.
guys nearby.
No, I certainly didn't.
Oh, my God. Well, that's spooky.
I'll kick a 10-year-old's
so
ass.
So once, I mean, if anyone tried to kidnap my older daughter, they're going to bring her back immediately. So that's not a problem. But
what?
Yes. But
the 10-year-old?
No. My 3-year-old. In any case, he uses bad language in front of my child's, in front of children.
In front of your child's?
In front of my child's,
so,
yes.
Was that Julia Child's? All right, so what did he say?
He said, oh, that's bleeping cool. And I stood up.
The F-bomb?
Yeah, and I stood up and I said, excuse me, sir, you can't talk like that in front of my children. And I started to gather them up. That was a good opportunity for me to get out of there. And then he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say freaking cool. That was, and I was like,
was this guy homeless?
No.
How old was this guy?
I would say 30s.
White, black, Hispanic, Asian?
White.
Did he
white?
Look like a normal guy? Was he there with a kid?
How was he dressed?
Just dressed like a regular person.
Did he say where he went? What kind of car he got into?
Did you take a picture?
We got out of there quickly, but I did go back to the restaurant and I asked them the other day, I said, by the way, this happened. Do you know this person? Is this person, are they a regular customer? What's their deal? And so in any case, it was nerve wracking. And you say, what do you do when you're there with two kids and you feel kind of defenseless?
What did Doug do?
Yeah. What did Doug do?
Well, Doug wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
What a surprise.
Yeah, again.
Hello,
again.
Doug. Oh, yeah. Doug is like absent all of a sudden. I don't even know if you guys are together anymore. I think you're holding it out on. All right. Now, this kind of reminds me of that story out of Oregon. Did you see the story where the guy pulls down his mask and kisses a stranger's baby on the mouth at a grocery store?
I'd murder him.
Austin Blake Stewart, 24, allegedly kissed the 1-year-old girl while her mother was looking in a different direction at a Winco supermarket in Springfield, Oregon last Thursday. Can you imagine
that?
Well,
the mom was looking at what?
The kid's in the cart. The kid's a 1-year-old kid in the shopping cart. Mom is looking at something on the aisle, and this guy walks up, pulls his mask down, kisses the 1-year-old on the mouth.
Kid's like, what the hell are you doing, old man?
My God.
Pretty awful.
Did he have COVID or something?
The guy then fled, and the mom is like searching for him, alerted store workers. The child's father then flagged down a cop who reported that a man had just kissed his daughter on the lips. Cops found the guy hiding under a blanket on a nearby street.
Good hiding spot.
And charged him with physical harassment. I mean, crazy. That could have been, this guy could have kissed your 1-year-old on the mouth. Same kind of weird deal.
I would have gotten physical at that point.
My God.
Nobody ever needs to kiss anybody on the mouth.
Certainly strangers in a supermarket.
Yeah.
844, it's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Michelle, is she trying to poison me? We're going to have that author of The Lost Apothecary join Michelle live next. This ought to be interesting. Don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. And, something interesting happened over the weekend. And, you know, Roxanne, you're familiar with this book, right? The Lost Apothecary?
Yes. I have not read it yet, but I want to. It's on my list.
All right. Here's the story. Michelle was reading in bed, and she's reading this book, The Lost Apothecary. Now, remember, we mentioned this last week, how Michelle and Froggy's wife, Kim, they have this kind of like book club, but it's kind of a joke because they're the only ones in the book club and they don't meet. They just like decide what books they're going to read and then they'll just kind of talk about it or text, you know, each other. So it's not like it's like this for, by the way, Michelle once got kicked out of a book club.
For what?
How do you get kicked out of a book club?
You know, if I have time, I'll tell you later on. All right. So Michelle was reading in bed on Friday and I asked her what book she was reading and what it was about. And Michelle starts telling me that the book is about poisoning men with potions and tinctures. I'm like, my vocabulary is pretty good, but I had never heard of the word tincture.
Really?
Tea? You had heard of, you've heard of tincture?
It's on the menu at the old medication place.
Really?
Of course.
T-I-N-C-T-U-R-E. So it's a new word. You know, herbal mixtures, and I'm thinking, well, should I be worried? Michelle's reading a book that has all kinds of potions and poisons in there. And Michelle liked the book so much, she finished the book on Saturday night, and I tweeted about this. I'm like, should I be worried? Michelle's reading a book about poisoning guys. So I tweet about it, and I tag the author. The author tweets me back, and it turns out the author of this New York Times bestseller, this this novel, The Lost Apothecary, lives right here in St. Petersburg. So hang on, let me bring her up here. Sarah Penner, are you with us? Can you hear me, Sarah?
Yes. Hi, MJ. How are you?
Sarah, welcome to the MJ Morning Show. I'm going to try to lock in your line here and get my wife on. Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Okay, I think I figured this out now. So I'm going to call Michelle. I'm going to get Michelle on the line.
Hello?
Michelle, say hi to Sarah.
Oh, hello, Sarah. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good.
Oh, great.
All right, so,
okay.
the two of you are making good friends quick.
Yeah, Michelle's getting...
Like, I was just listening to that little intro, and I think it's awesome that, like, MJ never heard the word tincture, and so his vocabulary is expanding, and I'm thrilled, Michelle, that you love the book.
Oh, it's a fantastic book. I couldn't put it down.
All right, Sarah, do me a favor. And, you know, this is a rarity. We don't have authors on the show. We're just kind of a topical, you know, wing it kind of morning show. You know, we had a run for like 18 years. We took a break. We just came back on Q105 back in October. And here's Michelle reading a book. I'm like, what's the book about? And she's like, well, it's about poisoning guys. I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh boy.
Sarah, how did you come up with the idea for this book?
Yeah, so, you know, and I want to say thank you, first of all, for having me on. I mean, it sounds like you don't talk to a whole lot of authors, and I'm so glad that I reached out on Friday night and said hello. So, yeah, a book about women poisoning men. You know, in the publishing industry right now, a lot of readers are looking for books about empowered women, and women doing really brave and rebellious things. And so when I set out to write this book, I thought, what is more empowering for a woman than to go to a female apothecary and get a poison to use against the men who have wronged her? And as it turns out, readers have been so receptive to that premise. And I think all of us right now are kind of in this weird, frustrated state. We're tired of lockdowns. And we just are looking for kind of this fictional way to seek vengeance.
And Sarah, I know your book is total fiction, but do you think there's any chance that some crazy lunatic women might try to poison guys?
Like, where can I get those needles?
Yeah, so unfortunately now an autopsy, like the coroners would know immediately what's going on, and right, police would be hot on your heels.
Because your book takes place, my wife was explaining that it goes back and forth, back, you know, centuries, and then to the present time, so it goes back and forth.
Yeah, so that's the whole point, is back in 1791, you could get away with that, because forensic toxicology didn't exist, so it's perfect time.
Wow. And then, Michelle, you want to know, what is this beetle you want to know about?
I need those green beetles.
Okay, there's these green beetles. It's the most interesting toxin in the story because they're actually an aphrodisiac, and then they kill you. So it's like an aphrodisiac toxin.
Now, is that the one where the guy gets a prolonged arousal? Is that what Michelle was telling me about that the guy gets a prolonged arousal, then dies?
Yeah, that's pretty much correct. And several hundred years ago, this beetle, it was actually used in brothels in Paris because that's where it's the most appropriate.
So that was like the first Viagra, some beetle stinging your wang?
Yeah, but then it kills you.
But then it kills you.
That's an awful beetle.
How did you, Sarah, how did you come up with this book, this idea?
You know, I just wanted to write something that's never been written, and there's not a whole lot of books in, you know, if you go to a bookstore now, there's not really many books about apothecaries, if any, and certainly none about poisoning. So I just found like this untapped area in the market and decided to write about it.
All right, hold on, Sarah. What is an apothecary?
apothecary.
By the way, that's Sarah. That's Fester, and Fester's typically pretty bright. You never heard of an apothecary? All right, Sarah, tell Fester
what is an apothecary.
Tell Fester what it is.
It's like a predecessor to a modern day pharmacist.
Yeah.
So it's a person who sells drugs,
okay,
and medicines and remedies.
So is the person in the book who makes the drugs and the poisons, are they a good character or bad character? Because it kind of sounds like a cool ride-or-die friend, but maybe this is the villain.
Yeah, Michelle, that's a great question. She's
Oh, no, that's Roxanne, by the way. Roxanne's in the studio.
Oh. Okay, well, there you go. Roxanne, great question. She's meant to be a morally gray character. So the reader kind of gets to decide whether she is bitter and vengeful or whether she's helpful and good. And that's part of the fun of the story, is there are a lot of questions the reader gets to decide for themselves.
Now, should I be worried? Michelle does a lot of cooking. Actually, we both do a lot of cooking, but Michelle will make biscuits for me, or she makes some great soups. Should I be worried? Or you think if she makes something and she doesn't eat it and tries to give it to me, is that a sign?
You should totally be worried, and you should probably not eat it.
Oh, my. Hey, Michelle, did you have any questions for Sarah?
No, I just wanted to say how much I loved the book. It was a page-turner and a couple of twists in the end. You're sort of anticipating some things, but they were all surprises, and I hope it continues to do well.
Now, you live, Sarah, you live in St. Pete, and I guess you, in our little tweeting back and forth, our DMs, you've been in St. Pete for about 5 years. Where'd you move from? Why'd you pick St. Pete to move?
Yeah, so my husband and I moved from Kansas, and the short answer is that we love beaches and we love sunshine, and we had vacationed down here a few times, loved it, and decided to sell a house, quit two really good jobs, and uproot with our dog, and we have never been happier.
Wow, that's incredible. And how long did it take you to write The Lost Apothecary?
It took about a year to write, and then a few months of revisions with my agent and my editor, and then we sold it overnight to HarperCollins, and it's now it's going to be translated into 24 languages.
What about a movie? Is anyone talking about a movie?
I wish I could share details, but, you know, we have to keep pretty mum on that for now.
Mm. That's all I need to know.
That's promising.
Yeah, wow. And this is your first book? I mean, have you ever written anything before?
I attempted another story several years ago that was kind of a flop. It never got agented, never got published, and it will never see the light of day again. But so The Lost Apothecary it's my debut. It's kind of my first book. So I've been really thrilled with the reception of it.
How high did it get on the New York Times bestseller list?
So it debuted at number 7. That was the highest that it got, and it's spending currently its third week on the list.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens this week.
That's fantastic. I mean, a great story. And women, I would say more women are reading the book than men, right?
Oh, totally, yeah. But I've been so surprised how many men have really loved the story. Like, even despite the premise, so many men have emailed me, like, I love this book. So I think you should totally read it. I think you'd like it.
Michelle, you're raving about this. You've read a lot of books lately with Froggy's wife, Kim, and your little book club, but you are raving about this book, Michelle. A lot of books lately, you're like, kind of sucked. But this book, you finished over the weekend, and you love this book.
Oh, yes, like maybe 2 days.
Done. Yeah, it's a quick read.
That's incredible.
For sure.
Sarah Penner, the author of The Lost Apothecary, and if Michelle says the book was amazing, trust me, the book's amazing.
No. Also, can I just say, Sarah, I totally agree. You do have a smoking hot husband, by the way.
What?
So he should not be worried, I'm sure.
Well, what?
What? Michelle!
What's that all about?
Can you explain that to me, Michelle?
No.
Hold on.
Sarah knows what I'm talking about.
Sarah, do you mention your husband?
Oh, I talk about my husband all the time. I know I'm biased, but I think he should be a male model. Like, he's just such a great guy. And I said recently on, I think, Instagram that he's smoking hot. And so that's what Michelle's referring to. So
I got you.
People love that.
Now, does your husband have a new job yet? Or are you guys, without, yeah. What does he do?
So he is in wealth management at Fifth Third Bank. And, so if anyone's listening and has some money they want to invest, definitely head his way.
Look at that. Hey, Sarah Penner, the author of The Lost Apothecary. Michelle loves it. That's a pretty good thumbs up. Thanks, Sarah. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
And watch the newspaper, watch the obituaries to see if Michelle poisons me, okay?
I'll keep an eye out.
All right. Bye, Michelle. Bye, Sarah.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. We got like an hour to go. Back in a minute, folks.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
This is the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. Guys, if something happens to me, if I meet my demise, a poison. That's the first thing. Guys, don't let my death go unavenged, because if I suddenly drop dead...
It was a tincture.
Michelle poisons and tinctures. Absolutely.
Please.
We talked about this earlier in the show, and Fester's still all ticked off that now his lotto purchasing place is now spoiled. Spoiled, I said.
I'm happy for the winner. Whoever the winner is, listen, congratulations.
All right, by the way, if the winner is listening, if the winner that purchased the $238 million Powerball ticket in Lutz at Publix, if you're listening, give us a buzz. 800-990-1047.
Great.
Yeah, if you won Powerball, like they're really going to call, or we're going to have a whole bunch of, like, frauds call up. If you won Powerball, if you bought the ticket in Lutz at Publix, 800-990-1047. All right, all kidding aside, this is why Fester's all ticked off. Because Fester says that he can't buy... You'll continue to shop at that Publix, right?
It's the best... It's my Publix.
Yeah, this is Fester's Publix in Lutz. Was it on Nebraska?
It's where Nebraska and Florida Avenue meet to form 41.
That fork thing?
Yep, the Apex Publix.
Yeah, right behind Avila.
Yeah.
All right, so... Somebody won Powerball. How about that? Lutz Publix. Somebody purchased a $238 million Powerball ticket. And some people would say, oh my God, good luck. That store's got the mojo going. I'm going to go buy all my tickets there. And in Fester's case, he's like, what are the odds of them selling another big Powerball winner after having a $238 million winner? What if it's some rich dude from Avila that bought it?
Yeah, that's probably the way it would go.
No, because, well, listen, you've got, in the Tampa Bay area, you've got a big mix of economic, mixtures of different economics with people and their, you know, ways of life and, you know, where they come from an economic standpoint. So who knows? I mean, up in that area, you've got Avila and you got millionaires and then you have plenty of middle class folks as well. So who knows who bought the ticket?
Then you got a bunch of broke people like me. And we're all shopping at this Publix, and somebody wins. That's incredible.
Yeah, $238 million, but Fester's from the school that, son of a, my lotto has been interfered with now, so you're not going to buy more. You'll shop there at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
Absolutely.
But you have an issue buying Powerball tickets now.
I have to go to a different Publix? I have to go to a different place?
So you're of the school of thought that once a place sells a big winner that... The place is spoiled.
The odds are so astronomical that they sell a winner in the first place.
Yeah.
They say the odds of winning don't change for customers from one shop to the next.
It doesn't.
Even at, right.
It does. Not at all. Listen, the odds of winning are so ridiculously low that I, with confidence, I could buy tickets for Powerball or Mega Millions until the freaking cows come home, and I'm not going to win squat. All right? But... Somebody does win, and guess what? Somebody won at the Lutz Publix on Nebraska on Saturday night, $238 million.
Oh, I was there on Saturday, too.
Were you really?
Yes.
Oh my God. Did you buy tickets?
You know what? You know at the end where they prompt you if you want cash? I was like, you know what? Should I get $20 worth of lottery tickets? And I said, nah.
Oh,
I was getting out of here.
Man. Wow.
I was there Saturday night. Oh, Breyers has this new kind of ice cream. Forget about it. It's great.
Fester. It could have been a life-changing moment that you just blew out of laziness.
I was like, nah, let me just go to work on Monday.
Fester, wow.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, good luck, Fester, buying at the Quickie Mart, I guess, from now on.
It's the Sunshine Market.
There you go. MJ Morning Show, Q105, Hollywood Dirt on the way. I got a pile of morons, a lot of loose ends. Back in minutes.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
REO Speedwagon, MJ Morning Show, Q105, 927. Coop, who is our winner for the SeaWorld tickets and the parking pass, please?
Christine from Wesley Chapel.
Oh, fantastic. Christine, thank you. Thanks for playing along. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Also, she won this. What are you laughing at?
We gave her the saddest clap ever. Like,
all right, she won the SeaWorld tickets and a parking pass. Congratulations. All right, we also have the trip a day going on. We gave you the song title last hour. I'll give it to you again. I Love Rock and Roll, Joan Jett. The listen for I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. It'll play in the 6 p.m. hour. Mason will play it. Just be the right caller when he plays it. And what is it, caller 7? Is that it? Yeah, 7. Yeah, be caller 7 when you hear the song play. I Love Rock and Roll, Joan Jett. 6 o'clock hour. Just be the 7th caller and boom, you win. I was just checking just some of my Twitter messages and Instagram messages. And hang on a minute. Oh, boy. Kent sends in a note. This has nothing to do with the airplane exit door attempting to be open. We talked about this last hour.
Right. That
another case of someone trying to open up an airplane exit door on a Spirit Airlines flight.
In the middle of a flight in the air.
Yeah, it was like Cleveland to L.A., and they had to make an emergency landing in Denver. You can't do it. It is impossible to open up the exit door of an airplane. And then Kent sends me a message on Twitter. Hey, this has nothing to do with the airplane door, but do you remember the time you filled a car with concrete with Froggy in it? That was scary.
That was Fester.
It was. It was.
I would not do
what?
That.
Oh, you don't know this story?
No.
Oh, my God.
I have claustrophobia, and just hearing about it is cringeworthy.
This seemed like a really, really funny idea.
Until it wasn't funny, and Fester was, like, suffocating in the car. We had to yank him out. The crap that we did on the first incarnation of first the MJ and BJ show and then the MJ morning show, we did a lot of stuff which probably wouldn't pass muster today. There was some story where...
It was a revenge story.
Yeah, it was. That's right. It was a revenge story. A girlfriend, a jilted, jilted wife or girlfriend, got a cement truck, hired a cement truck, and then had cement dumped into into her guy's car.
Just filled it with cement.
And this morphed into, hey, let's get a car, have Fester sit in the driver's seat while a cement truck backs up and then dumps its whole load of cement in the car while Fester's sitting in the driver's seat.
What
about
that?
Just leave a human in there.
Yeah. What sounds like a good idea about that?
Fester, didn't you get a LeBaron convertible?
Yeah, it was my friend Reenie gave us an old Chrysler LeBaron.
Remember the car got so heavy that it goes poof, and it's like dropped to the ground, like all the shocks blew out.
They did. You know who used to drive a sporty LeBaron convertible?
Who?
Mark Larson.
That's right.
Whatever happened to Mark Larson? I haven't heard. Is he still alive?
I think he's doing Hungry Howie commercials still. Yeah. Listen, this. You don't think that liquid concrete weighs as much as concrete?
Oh my! It does.
It was insane.
Fester was in the driver's seat. we did this live on the air.
Yeah.
And Fester is sitting there while the concrete truck starts unloading its contents, concrete, a ready mix into the car. And Froggy's right. The car, there was so much weight that the car went. And all the shock absorbers snapped, and the car's now sitting on the ground.
Did you say you felt your life escaping your body?
I thought I was dying.
And what a horrible way.
I'm just like coming over to me, Fester, how you doing? I'm like, I don't feel so hot. He's like, okay, you're doing good. I'm like, I think I'm dying.
We couldn't open the door.
We couldn't open the door.
And
this was a LeBaron convertible. And then we had to yank Fester out of the... How many of us... And your shoes got stuck in there?
We couldn't get them out. It took a bunch of us.
You got cement shoes.
I think my shoes and pants stayed in the car.
They're still in there.
Came out in my underwear and socks.
How did we get that car out of there?
We towed it. We had steps towing there, and they towed it.
How do you dispose of a car with 8 tons of concrete inside?
The parking lot saw a lot.
They might have made it like a reef out in the middle of the old Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I thought I was going to. That is the closest I've ever come to death.
You really got scared.
Yeah, I was too close to dying.
Well,
to
I could see you panic. Like I saw it on his face. Like, oh my god, I gotta get out of here. Out. Yeah. And then Fester's like, get me out. And
yeah, he started screaming.
And then we couldn't pull him. We couldn't because he was stuck. And then you get that
suction.
That suction. Oh, yeah. So it was crazy.
It was awesome.
All right. Roxanne told the story last hour of this creepy encounter. She's sitting at some smoothie cafe in West Chase. Outdoors. They have what? Table chairs outdoors.
Yes.
And some guy comes up to you and does what?
He shakes my hand.
So hold on. It's even creepier. Your hands are in your lap. He reaches into your lap, grabs your hand to shake it.
Yes, and just starts talking to me. It was almost like, you know, like Joe Namath and Susie Colbert, their kiss, how he kissed her without her wanting to be kissed. That was a handshake without me wanting to have my hand shook.
Yeah.
So it's very awkward. And then he just starts asking me all these questions. How long have I lived there? And I'm just calculating in my head, how can I get, what does he want from me? Is he trying to sell me something? Is he trying to kidnap my children? All the range of possibilities.
But then he starts cursing too.
Right. In like an awkward way. Like he asked me a question. I said, I've lived here X amount of time. And he goes, oh, that's bleeping cool. And then I said, you can't talk like that in front of my kids. And
drops the F-bomb in front of the kids.
Yes.
And there are no guys around.
No guys around. 10-year-old boys.
Doug is like absent dad now. We don't know where Doug is. I don't even know if Doug's still alive. He could be buried somewhere for all I know.
I gave him a tincture.
I need proof of life on Doug. I don't know if he's alive. We haven't heard from him in 2 months.
Yeah, send a picture of Doug holding today's newspaper. Yeah.
It's like the Scientology guy's wife.
Guess what? There won't be a copy of today's Tampa Bay Times. Can you believe they only publish the paper twice a week? It's like, my God, what is going on?
I'll snap his photo on Wednesday.
I saw there was a newspaper, I think, in the Midwest that published a newspaper this weekend with a blank front page.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they're like, we're going out of business.
Yeah, jeez. All right, so you're getting propositioned now on our text line at 800-990-1047, same as the call-in line. And what are these guys saying?
Yeah, it's nice to know that I have people who will accompany me to the smoothie shop. I have, if Doug is really out of the picture, that they'll hang out with me nights and weekends.
Guys are offering their services to hang with Roxanne for protection.
Is Doug really out? Yeah. So I've learned with this show, people, relatives, friends, they hear bits and pieces and then they just fill in the rest of the blanks. So I will get calls when I go home today from people in my life saying, oh, what happened to you and Doug? We're together still.
I need proof of life. I'm telling you, I need proof of life on Doug. I don't know if he's still breathing. I got to be honest.
You put him in a barrel of acid, didn't you?
He's totally dissolved.
Good lie.
He's not going to be found like Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa was probably ground up in like a paper shredder is what they're saying. All right, final segment next. I got some Hollywood dirt, a ton of loose ends. Maybe the best segment next, MJ Morning Show on Q105.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Oh, really, Roxanne? You were about to correct me, and if you corrected me, you would have stepped in it.
Yes. Would have gotten mustard all over myself.
It's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. Why don't you explain how you were about to correct me on air?
Because you were saying something didn't pass the test. Something seemed suspect. And you said that doesn't pass mustard. Or pass muster.
I said that doesn't. Muster. I said that doesn't pass muster. And folks, Roxanne thought for all these years that it's really doesn't pass mustard.
I've always been telling people that doesn't pass the mustard test.
There's no mustard test.
It doesn't pass. And Coop, you have no idea. Have you ever used the word muster in any sentence ever in your life?
Neither makes sense to me. So
either muster or mustard. Nothing.
No right? idea. I don't know what those words are. Mustard, yes.
Did you go to school?
Yeah. I have a bachelor's degree.
All right.
I'm educated.
So just checking.
It's pass muster and it's cut the mustard.
Oh, okay, I'm mixing
two,
them.
Yes, two.
Yeah, that doesn't things. Cut the mustard, meaning it doesn't, you know, pan out or whatever. You know.
It doesn't cut the mustard.
You were about to correct. That would have been funny. I wish you would have corrected me. That would have been even funnier if you jumped in.
I wanted to.
Lots of folks like to jump in and try to find, like Froggy loves to find me, you know, in a mistake.
Always.
Froggy lives to try to correct me.
I love it. Like that one time you called bunt cake, butt cake. I go, dude, it's not butt cake.
I did call bunt cake, butt cake.
You could call him bunt cake, butt cake for years.
Oh my, breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm all excited here. I'm pushing all these breaking news buttons. Breaking news! The canal is free! There's not going to be a worldwide toilet paper shortage.
Yes.
They moved that stupid ship.
The Ever Given?
The Ever Given from Evergreen. The ship is now floated. It is being pulled. It's moving out. They've dislodged the ship. Apparently, high tide and the fact that we had a big full moon also raised up the water level. So that was part of. Did you see they had like a little backhoe? They got a freighter the size of Utah, and they had a little bitty backhoe, like, digging out the side. I'm like, it looks like a flea next to an elephant.
And then little tugboats pulling.
Yeah, you know, one scoop at a time, but they got it out. They were talking about this being lodged for months.
I know, months. And the whole world economy is going to collapse, and I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
It's fine. It took like 3 days.
How'd they get it out? Did they blow it up?
Flowmax. No, it floated.
Dude, oh.
Cool. They were able to float the boat again and get it off of it was wedged on like the sand or the, right? They were talking about having to move.
It drifted.
Yeah.
That's not as exciting.
Coop comes up to me this morning and goes, why don't they just blow the boat up? And I'm like,
that would be so cool to watch.
With what? With 10,000 containers on it?
Yeah, that'll be great.
Blow it up?
Yeah.
Like it. Oh, good my idea. God. Hey, you saw the volcano that erupted in Iceland, right?
Yeah, I saw the video of it.
A park ranger saw a tourist with a metal frying pan try to fry bacon on the lava flow. Seriously. I'm not making this up.
That's awesome.
A tourist takes a metal frying pan and goes to a lava flow right next to it with bacon in the pan and wants to fry bacon. Guess what happened?
He fell in.
He had delicious bacon.
The whole frying pan melted.
Oh, my God.
It dissolved. It melted.
How about his hand?
You know, if you look at the melting points, just to give you an idea, if you look at the melting points of metals, and let me see if my memory serves me correctly, but like the melting point of, let's say it was like an aluminum pan, melting point of aluminum is like 1,220 degrees, if I'm not mistaken. Let's say it was a copper pan. If it was Copper Chef or something, it's like 1,983 degrees. A cast iron pan, cast iron melts at 2,200. A carbon steel pan, which I made delicious seared salmon in last night, carbon steel melts somewhere between 2,600 and 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit. So this frying pan melted into the lava. Totally just dissolved, gone. Who's that, the red hair, the old lady with the red hair that sells those pans on TV? What would happen to her pans?
Oh, those pans would last in lava.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, the lady who makes the dump cakes.
Yeah, the dump cakes.
They're fantastic.
All right, what else do we have before we get out of here? This is pretty creepy. A Houston bank clerk accused of stealing nude photos of unknown customers. What? Harris County District Attorney's Office filed a second-degree felony charge against a now former Bank of America employee who prosecutors say tricked young women into handing over their cell phones so he could steal their intimate photos. Yeah, Bank of America spokesperson said the company fired Juan Esteban Ramirez after two customers, both 20-year-old women, filed police reports. So he would say, hey, let me work on the app on your phone or something, and then he'd go in and he'd steal their photos. So he would find, like, I guess, attractive women, young women.
You can scroll through phones pretty quickly.
And he would go to their photo album and try to find some personal photos. And I guess he did it to so many people, he would find, like, young women that had nude photos, and he'd steal the photos. And then he would send the photo, he'd go into their app, and then he would email the photos to himself. How long did he have the phone that he was able to do this?
I'll be back in a half an hour with your phone.
Yeah, folks, don't hand your phone to anybody. No. And I think that does it, folks. I think that'll wrap up the MJ Morning Show here on a Monday. Anything, guys? Froggy?
That's it.
Fester, any last thing?
That is it.
Anything last thing?
Texters want to know if Doug really is alive, so I will have a photo tomorrow.
Proof of life.
Yes.
I need something that proves the date.
It'll be a deep fake.
Okay. All right, it's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. Folks, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.